Since it's missions night, I've been given an announcement regarding missions. There is going to be a collection for Eagleton Middle School for back-to-school supplies. They do need school supplies and backpacks and hygiene items, deodorant, shampoo, soap, toothpaste, toothbrush, new socks, new underwear, and gift cards for haircuts. And you can bring those by in the church and leave those in the lobby in the baskets for EMS. You'll get an email about that this week and then also a reminder next Sunday. I also want to mention that our new youth pastor and his family have joined us tonight. It's great to have y'all here. You're smiling. Friday when we moved them, we were not smiling as much. We were about to stroke out in the heat, but I'm glad to see y'all made it, recovered a little bit, and we're grateful for y'all being here. We're looking forward to the ministry that God has. And so take a few weeks to recover, and we'll be ready to go on the 21st. All right. Well, turn your attentions to the screen at this time.
Women read a magazine article about making sleeping mats out of grocery bags. They turned the idea into a ministry. As Emily DeVoe shows us, it's helping hundreds of homeless people in East Tennessee.
Every month, the sound of rustling plastic bags echoes through the hall at Madison Avenue Baptist Church in Maryville.
I love doing this. My husband fusses at me for working on it so much.
From cutting the grocery bags to looping them into a ball and crocheting them together, everyone plays a different role in turning what would typically go to a landfill into a place to sleep.
It's softer than concrete, much softer than concrete.
It's a process. No one person is more important than the other. It takes everybody.
Nancy Montooth and a couple of friends started making the mats in their homes after reading about the idea in a magazine. 6 years later, there are 9 churches and dozens of volunteers involved in making hundreds of mats for the homeless. Each one includes a Bible verse.
There was a young man said that on a cold winter night, and it was 13 degrees, the wind was blowing, he was homeless, and something kept hitting him in the face, and it was the tag with the scripture verse on the mat, and he was saved.
It brought it home as to why we do this.
When Liz Henry asked a cashier for extra bags one day, she realized just how big an impact they were making.
She said, "Oh, you make bags for homeless." She said, "I have one of those." I said, "Yeah." And she said, I was in prison. And then I came out homeless. And now I have my own home. And I have a bag, a mat made from your bags. And I use it in my kitchen to remind me.
A reminder that even something that seems small, like a bag you'd probably throw away, can make a big difference. In Maryville, Emily DeVoe, 10 News.
What an impact. The volunteers say they're always looking for more people to help out. We have the number, if you're interested, on our website, WBIR.com. Well, thanks so much for watching.
Video was great, and that was probably enough, but we started about 6 years ago here, and we have people from age 6 to 93 that works, and everybody's important. The ones that fold bags, the ones y'all donated bags out there, and don't bring any more bags in, we've got a room full, but we could use some blue ones from Food Line. We like that. If I need those, I have to go to Food Line over there at the place and dig them out. Anyway, we get those, and we get an opportunity to go to Maryville College this month. There's going to be 520 kids come here from all over the United States, and they're going to be making the plarn, the plastic that we use, the cut piece, it's called plarn, and they ask us to come and talk to the kids. So that TV thing, we've gotten so many calls. not at one time, but they just keep dribbling in. And that little five-minute thing there, it really promoted our ministry. So thank you.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity to come and share about an important ministry that y'all partner with us. It's Family Promise of Blount County. We can get our video to download, but I would encourage you to go to our website, which is www.bluntfamilypromise.org. Go to Who We Are and watch the video. You will recognize people in the video whose lives have been changed because of your partnership with Family Promise. I don't know if you realize how important your congregation is to what we do. Family Promise could not do anything if it were not for the congregations that partner with us. Family Promise is a comprehensive solution to family homelessness, but that only happens because the sleeping quarters, the actual place where our families lay their head at night, is in a church. And your congregation stepped up about 3 years ago and said, hey, we will partner with you and we will allow families to come and sleep in our church. But they don't just sleep here. As part of being here, you who are volunteers minister to them. They can see the light of Christ through each one of you. I could tell you so many stories, but one of my favorites is from way back about 8 years or so ago. We had a father with three little stair-step kids, about 2, 3, and 4. He had custody of them, and I took them to daycare, and they went in, and he said in the car, and he said, I just don't get you church people. And I said, okay, what is it? He said, I don't get why you would care more about me than my own family. And so that is an incredible opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with families who are suffering, who are desperate, who are hopeless. And that's what each one of you do. So I would encourage you, if you are not already volunteering, families sleep here 4 times a year. Don't know when the next week is, but Bethany is the coordinator here. She would love to have you work alongside her, whether that's actually being here and serving during the dinner hour, which is a great time to get to know families and to allow them to share their story and you share your story with them. There's that opportunity all the way from setting up and taking down beds, doing laundry, cooking meals, sleeping in the church. So there are lots of opportunities to volunteer. Your congregation supports us not only with your time and your talents by volunteering, but you also support us financially every month. We could not thank you any more for that, because we have been the recipient of a federal grant for many years, and we no longer are taking that money. We want to be supported. We want to be able to live out our mission, which federal money sometimes does not allow you to do that. And so we are very appreciative. So Family Promise is an opportunity to be in mission right here in your community. You don't have to get on an airplane. You don't have to spend a lot of money and go somewhere else, although that's very, very important as well. But you can be a missionary right here in your own church. And so I'm so pleased that Madison Avenue is one of our partner churches, and we look forward to working alongside you for many years. So again, Bethany is your person if you need to volunteer, which I think you do. So just see her, and she can hook you up. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here.
Kenny Wiggins, been a member of Madison Avenue for coming up on 40 years. Been going to Big Creek for quite a number of years. This time, myself and several others started out working in the gym of the school, helping put together bunk rooms for the summer staff, and then ended up at the community pool replacing the stalls in the men's and ladies' restrooms, which will be a big benefit. Both of those jobs will be a big benefit to the summer staff and the summer ministry. We're laying the groundwork for the ministry that's going to take place this summer, which is key.
We were the 27th group of people that had been to Big Creek since the 1st of February. Everywhere you look, you can see something that our group has had their hands in. The first time that anybody from Madison Avenue went was actually cleaning out an old school, and now it has evolved into a fully functioning mission hub serving three counties, and it's just a great mission.
What's always interesting to me, what's always memorable to me, is to see the folks who go for the first time, and in particular, students, young folks, Theodore, Katie, and Mary, and just seeing how they fell right in and contributed, each of the three. They weren't there just watching. They were contributing to help prepare that place for the student groups who come up in the summer.
I have been blessed to be a part of the Big Creek Mission Team since our first one-day trip up in 2007 to clean up the school. And I was able to go and take Micah with me and cook the meals for that team. God then showed me that I was going to have a way to be able to serve in missions and take Ryan and Micah with me. How amazing it has been to see God's hands at work in providing spaces, providing labor, in providing opportunities for Big Creek Mission to be able to serve up there in Leslie and Clay County. He's opened doors that seemed impossible. Being a part of a mission team takes you out of the usual group you're with in Sunday school or that you sit near in church, and you're put together at meals and working together for a common goal, whether it's construction, painting, cleaning, bagging groceries at the pantry, or preparing the next meal. You build a friendship and a bond with those team members. And I urge anyone who has even considered going on one of these trips to jump in and do it, whether it's for a day or two or for the entire trip. But God has shown me that He can use whatever ability you have, whether it's cooking or construction or just being able to sit and smile and listen to someone's story. He can use that for His glory.
I've had more than one conversation in the past with people that said, I don't know how to do construction, or I don't know how to do fill in the blank. My answer to that is, you learn by going. I do not consider myself a master carpenter or anything else like that, but a lot of what I've learned, I learned while working with other men and women. There'll be things I'll do working on a house that I'll remember. You know, Clarence Croft taught me that. I can remember Clarence teaching me that. So you don't have to be a skilled fill-in-the-blank to go. You go and learn. The four of us that were working at the pool, none of us had ever put up bathroom stalls. But together we managed to do it.
Thank you for allowing my family to be a part of this mission group.
This is typical workwear for Big Creek Mission Trip. And I mean, I've got some tools here. We can talk about what all their names are. I mean, you know, this is obviously a carpenter hammer. How many of you have one of these in your house? I mean, let's be honest. How many of you have one? So you've obviously used it at some point, right? Or at least you just sit there and look at it. Some people call these lineman pliers or side cutters. To me, it's an electrician's hammer. That's what I call it. Or a screwdriver here. You know, this is all just fun props, but what I'm really here to talk about is why we go. And why we go is for what? To connect out. To connect out regionally, right? I mean, that's what all the videos are for. That's what Kenny and Karen and Mike have talked about. And for me personally, I've been going on mission trips since I was 13 years old, I think. Mom and Dad paid for me to go to Brazil. Got in trouble on that trip, but it was fun anyways. But the point is, for me personally, seeing my kids get to go and do the mission work means the world to me. That's what it really means. To see grown adults, men and women, that believe, not only on Sunday morning, but take action. That's what it's about. So, as you've heard and you're going to hear all night long, and I can stand up here and talk for another 10 minutes and tell you all the wonderful stories. The only thing I want to challenge you with is, if you like good food, you need to go. Because Karen's going to cook. The second thing is, which is more important, just be a willing vessel. If you're willing, Mike will put you to work. Mike's a good foreman. He's a good foreman. He treats us right. Kenny's very knowledgeable. Don't let him fool you. Master carpenter, master plumber. Electrician, not so much. That's all right. I'm just kidding. He walked in. He knows I'm playing with him. We have a good time. We'd love to have you come along. Mike wants me to stress, the more the merrier. We go to the school. There's over 200 beds in the school. The reason we go before any kids get there, and this is the main reason we go, is to help them get prepared for all those kids to come. And those kids will come, I forget how many weeks, 10 weeks, something like that. They'll have roughly 200 kids from Sunday to Friday, Thursday or Friday. And those kids will go out in the community and do all kinds of work. So our goal is to prep the school, whatever it is, or prep the community in some form or fashion. Work at the pool, work at the school, paint. My kids come back, they've got clothes ruined from paint. I love it. You know, or we have to throw clothes away because we've done something dirty. We hang, you know, get on the roof, whatever. And it doesn't, you don't have to have any of those skills. This guy don't have any of those skills. I'm just willing to do whatever's needed. And that's all they want. That's all they want. Now, if you'll give me a minute, I'll get out of your way, and we can continue on.
So with Denver being a new mission for our church, we're actually going to play some slides in the background while I speak so I don't take up too much time. So Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." So that particular scripture has been very close to my heart since God closed and opened several doors for me over the last 8 to 9 months. And that theme really continued for us on Denver, Colorado trip. So a little background, with more than 4.8 million people living in Denver and more moving there every year, it's been called the best place to live by the U.S. News and World Report. With clean mountain air and over 300 days of sunshine per year, this cultural melting pot city is home to the most entrepreneurs and small businesses in the country. But barely more than 50% of the population identify with religion of any kind, and only about 7% affiliate with Christianity. Young adults are flocking to the area with hopes and dreams of a new start in life, with new jobs and an outdoor playground in their backyard. However, many are finding that those dreams aren't coming true, with long work hours, a high cost of living, and an emptiness in their heart that isn't being filled. Some are even moving back home or elsewhere within 5 years of moving to Denver. But with so many people, especially young people, moving to the area, it's no surprise to see the growth of housing, shopping, eateries, and many other developments. From a financial standpoint and an appearance standpoint, that's great. However, what isn't as obvious is the gentrification that happens with this growth. Many people, including families and children, are being displaced from their homes due to increases in rent or new developments pushing them out after their apartment buildings are sold. As of January 2018, Colorado had an estimated 10,857 people experiencing homelessness on any given day, including 990 family households. Public school data reported to the U.S. Department of Education during the 2016-2017 school year shows that an estimated 23,014 public school students experienced homelessness over the course of the year. Refugees and asylees are also a growing population in need. There are approximately 1,650 new refugees arriving in Colorado each year. Many of them have nothing when they come here. They're just trying to escape whatever horrible situation they came from. So on this particular trip, we had an opportunity to connect with many of the people groups I just mentioned. Our primary connection was working with Derek Scherfe, who's a church planter originally from Tennessee. His church plant, the Oaks Church, is focused on a neighborhood in the southeast Denver that within a 2-mile radius houses over 100,000 people, of which more than 90% are lost. The people groups within this area include more than 40 countries of origin, and there is only one other Southern Baptist church here. So with an easily walkable distance, there's a huge opportunity to impact many people. The Oaks Church, like many other church plants, don't actually have their own church building, but rather rent meeting space for their services. And in this case, the Oaks has a Sunday night service within another church's building. We had the opportunity to join that service the evening of our arrival. We helped with caring for the children, as well as a setup and takedown, which they have to do for every single service. So as we were the first official group to visit this church plant, much of the focus was on getting to know the community and praying for the community. We spent time visiting and praying over the neighborhoods, as well as going door to door taking surveys. One of Derek's jobs in the city has to do with collecting data for the local government. So we were able to use that as an end to connect and start speaking with people. Many people, especially the local government schools, tend to have a negative perception about churches and Christians in general. We experienced this in many facets, from the Airbnb property we stayed at, to the rejection of a park permit, to simply just trying to help the local schools. However, we were also able to see some of these walls slowly begin to break down, as we tried to show them that we were simply there to help and show them love. One of the local schools, Ellis Elementary, has been a target for Derek and the Oaks Church, and they've continually tried to connect with them. They're a very diverse and low-income school in the community. They had refused or ignored many attempts to help and or provide services from the Oaks Church or any other person or organization that was affiliated with the church. Sadly, several weeks before our arrival, the school was subject to an act of hate after gasoline was used to burn a large swastika in the grounds next to the building. But you know what? God used this situation, and a contact was made, and the Oaks Church was able to provide materials and labor to help turn this act of hate into a peace park at the school. And we were able to spend several hours over 2 days working at the school to help cover up and build out the park, along with the principal who was there, several families from the school, and even a state official, all while we had the opportunity to show the love of Christ. There was a small park in the community next door to an apartment complex that houses many of the refugee families in the neighborhood. One of our original plans was to set up a festival at the park for the community to provide free food and games and just have a good time. Unfortunately, the local government denied the permit once they found out that a church was sponsoring the event. So since we had that information, we actually made it a point to walk through the park during our prayer walk time and ask God to open doors. Since we were there with our kids, we felt strongly that we needed to just be out on the playground, play with the other kids that were there. And since it was such a beautiful day, there were quite a few folks there. It was Memorial Day. And we had the pleasure of meeting and sharing with a few people that were out there, enjoying the day, including a young man called Ben. Ben was a refugee from Ghana that had just arrived to the United States the week before. He was out there by himself trying to play basketball, which was a sport he had little experience with. But after talking and shooting some hoops with the kids, Derek was able to connect and offer to help him by providing transportation for an interview he had coming up and some other needs that he had. We also mentioned that we would try to get some soccer, or in his terms, football, going later in the week, which was much more of his sport. So as we committed, we headed back out to the park the next day, this time with a couple soccer balls and soccer goals. We reached out to Ben, inviting him to join us, and we had also hoped that some of the kids we had spoken to the day before in the park would join us. Unfortunately, we learned our timing wasn't great because school was still in session for that district. But Ben soon showed up and brought a friend who was also originally from Ghana. So Mia, Jay, Wesley, Philip, and I formed a circle to do a little soccer juggling with our new friends, while Dolores, Carol, and Kim engaged and made some great connections with a few other folks around the park. And they've also got some great stories of special God moments that happened during that time that they would love to share with you if you ask them. So as we warmed up and moved into playing some games of soccer, we got to hear some of their stories and share a little bit of why we were there and where we were from. They were fascinated with Tennessee, by the way. I thought everyone had cowboy hats and cowboy boots. So after playing soccer with these guys for a while and them having played soccer all their life, being very talented and in great shape, Philip and I were kind of wiped out, so our young soccer star kids were out there to continue to give them a good challenge. This was such a great opportunity for these guys to play a sport they love and briefly forget about where they had come from and what they were having to deal with on a regular basis. It was also a great opportunity for our kids to connect in a way that many others are not able to. So the last story I want to share this evening is also about some of the refugees. Near the end of the week, we had the opportunity to visit a place called the Mango House, which is considered a shared space for resettled refugees. This space includes services for the refugees, such as medical and dental care, youth organizations, and a market that has unique supplies, such as the ingredients that they may be used to having for their food back home. We had the pleasure of interacting and loving on some people in the center, and there are also a few food court-style restaurants inside the facility that are actually operated by the refugees. So it gave them an opportunity to share some culture and earn some money. Cuisines from the Middle East to Burma to Sudan and many others were available. And I can honestly say it was the best food I had in Denver, and I think some of the other group will agree. But technically, the Mango House is in Aurora, Colorado, which is right next to Denver. And it's also on the infamous Colfax Avenue, which is known as a very rough and crime-stricken part of town. But it's also more affordable for many folks due to the ever-expanding development. We met up with Matt, who's another area church planner, and we learned about how he's been connecting and serving in that community. Matt mapped out the area for us over a few blocks, and we split up into groups of two or three to do some more prayer walking. I have to tell you, every business, church, school in the area had bars and or razor wire guarding their property. There were drunkards, gangbangers, homeless people sleeping on benches. We saw lots of trash, evidence of domestic violence, and impoverished conditions. But you know, that was one of the most special times that I had on the trip, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. So each night, as we gathered back at the house that we were staying at each evening, we had a brief devotional, and we took time to reflect and share about how we had seen God work that day. As our small group grew closer together, it was exciting to see the kids interact and get more involved. Involved in discussions as the week went on. So that day, as we walked around the Mango House neighborhood, I was paired with my son, Wesley. And I was so blessed to see his heart open up, hear him pray out loud for that torn community. And then towards the end of our walk, we caught up with another group that had Mia, Jay, and Philip. Me and Jay were recognizing and observing needs for prayer and just calling them out loud. And to me, that's what family missions and trips are all about, being obedient to God's calling, serving alongside the children. Not only did they have an opportunity to see mom and dad serve and share Christ's love, but mom and dad had the opportunity to see the children grow in Christ and teach mom and dad a few new things. So let me just encourage you and your family to continue to worship together, pray together, and serve together whenever possible. And we'd love to have you join us next year. Thank you.
as Eric had pictures scrolling behind him, there are going to be some pictures scrolling behind me. 35 years ago, the Lord laid this ministry on the hearts of a pastor at this church, as well as one of the lay people that attended here. And that ministry started in Brazil. Through this ministry, 34 years later, 67 chapels have been built through the grace and strength of God. Each year, God takes ordinary people, ordinary materials, and uses them to build lighthouses of hope in the communities that He chooses. This year, we had the privilege to be a part of what God is doing by taking part in the work of the building of the 67th chapel in Brazil. The chapel built June of 2019 and dedicated on Wednesday, June the 19th, was donated by Dr. and Mrs. Glenn Cummings in thanks and appreciation to Madison Avenue Baptist Church for giving them the honor and joy of serving here for over 20 years. This team was made up of 27 people from various churches that have been called to serve in Brazil. Seven of those travelers were first-time travelers. Five came from LJ, Georgia. One was Sam Wagner's daughter, Rachel, and one was Claire Matosin. She was able to make her first trip this year, and we're hoping it's not her last. God was before our team before we ever left. We were delayed leaving Nashville, and it caused our flight to get in late to Atlanta, which was our big flight. And fortunately, God allowed the plane to be held so that we could take off and make our main flight. But in all essence, God went before us every step of the way, helping us to make all of our flights, but not without some delays all the way through, causing us to run through to gates to get where we're going. But He wanted us there, and He wanted us there for a reason. Our work began on Monday morning, and God opened many, many doors for ministry in the community. While the work was going on the work site, there were doors being opened in other avenues. We were actually able to have a Bible school with the children in the community. Normally, it's difficult to get the children to come to a Bible school. But this year, we were able to have approximately 30 to 35 children to attend Bible school. We were able to sing with them. You saw this short clip that was played before I came up of them singing with the children. When you're singing with the children, we're singing in English, they're singing in Portuguese. There is nothing sweeter than to hear praise to God in two different languages. It is the most precious thing that you will ever hear. But we were able to sing with them. One of the ladies from the church was able to share a Bible story with these children. And then we did crafts with them. But the most important thing that the takeaway for the day was that they were sent home with the gospel. They were sent home with a salvation bracelet and a bag full of goodies. But in that bag full of goodies was the explanation of that salvation bracelet and a coloring book that also had the gospel message in it, so that they could take that back into their families and back into their homes so that it would be there when they got with their families. Another opportunity that opened up outside of the work site was Pastor Ozeas was the pastor that we worked with down there. He called anybody under 30 the youngers. So he had the opportunity to take them to a school with older children that had a little bit of challenge in their life. But he took them to this school, and they were able to spend a morning with them, singing and answering their questions and just letting our young people be there with them, just to experience what a day in their school life is like, just to be able to be there with them and to share some gospel with them, share some tracts, let them know that we're here, that we love them, and, you know, we're praying for them. So that was another opportunity that opened up while we were away. And then a third opportunity that opened up was the pastor, Pastor Tiago, of the chapel that we built, is very involved in the community and very involved in a lot of the things that happen. And he is involved with a senior center. And he wanted, they had Valentine's Day. Their Valentine's Day is in June. So he wanted a couple of couples to go to the Valentine's Day and tell how they had met, just because when people from the United States are here and they're here to glorify the Lord, he wanted them to know how, of course, they had met, but that they were doing it while they were praising the Lord and here to share his ministry. So we had the opportunity to go and do that. And Gary and I went, and Jim and Julie went, and I went to the senior center and spent the day. The pastor there is a part of a ministry that's a lot like Young Life, and he is very involved in that. That particular chapel that we built this year, they worshiped in a small room, much the size of the conference room that's right over here. And now they have a lighthouse on a hill. One street over from where we built is very drug-ridden. And we were approached several times by some people who were intoxicated, but still attempted to share the gospel with them. But that little chapel is now a lighthouse in that community. Pastor Tiago was sharing with us that there was a family in the community that had the death of a child before we came. That church took it upon themselves to assist the family with the cost of burying their child. That's the reach that that church family has in that community. And now that that chapel is there, they're going to have a much longer reach out into that community. So that's the things, those are the types of things that the Brazil mission team is able to do while they're out and about. Of course, the chapel did go up rather quickly this year with 27 people, but it's a beautiful chapel. God is glorified in all that we do. The first trust goes up typically, and the chapel is bathed in scripture. We always want to make sure that God is at the center and the beginning and the end of everything that we do. If you would like to become involved in the Brazil mission, please let one of us know. We would be more than happy to tell you how to do that and to become involved. It's a wonderful ministry that glorifies God in every aspect of everything that we do. Thank you.
Wanted to let you know there's a couple tables out there who did not come up and speak tonight. The Purpose Missions Group with Connie Bell is out in the lobby. Please stop by that table and find out more about what they're doing. There is a Madison Avenue Serving at Your Church table that Mike Lambert and the Assimilation team is putting together. It's a good place to start to say, hey, how do I get plugged in? And then the PRC of Maryville has a table, and my wife will be by that table. And we have allowed time so that you don't have to run off. You see, it's just 6:45. So what I'm going to ask now is, in just a minute, for our missionaries to head out to their tables. One of the things that I was thinking about while Beth was talking is each year we have to have folks step up with money for a chapel. And one of the things that you might want to talk at that table is about is, hey, how can I invest in reaching out in Brazil, a missions outreach, and what can my family do to help accomplish that? We're always looking for ways to get people engaged and involved. And so that's one way that you say, hey, I can't go to Brazil. I'm not able to travel to Brazil. But you sure could give towards the next chapel to be built down there. And so take time to hang out at the tables tonight. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss our missionaries. Chris will go over every tool he brought in here tonight. And so you want to stop by Chris's table. And I'm just grateful for all the work that's gone into tonight, the presentations that were made. Here's what's awesome about being at Madison Avenue. We're out in our community. We're out in our world. The other thing I was going to tell you, and some of you may not know this, but you know, we are a cooperating Tennessee Baptist Convention church. So how did we end up in Denver, Colorado? Because the Tennessee Baptist Convention has a partnership with Denver for church planting. And so we've been working with Kim Margrave at the Tennessee Baptist Convention to establish that partnership. And so that's what it means to be a Tennessee Baptist. It means we cooperate as a convention of churches to reach out to areas of lostness and darkness. And so wonderful opportunity there to do trips locally and regionally and internationally. Let's stand as we are dismissed in prayer tonight. And I do hope you don't rush off, but take some time to thank these folks and ask how you can get involved as you go tonight. Father, thank you for these testimonies. Thank you for these reports. And Father, we just want to give you all the praise and all the glory for how you have worked and will continue to work through these teams and opportunities. And Father, we can be involved right here in our own backyard. We don't have to wait for anything to be involved in missions this week. Our Baptist Center is right in our backyard. And Father, they're always looking for volunteers and helpers who can partner with them. And so, Lord, help us to be mindful of that. Lord, we just pray that we'll continue to be a blessing. We'll continue to be a light for the communities that we reach out to. And Father, above all, that we will serve well your gospel to the ends of the earth. We pray all that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.